If you knew the gift of God and the one who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you knew the gift of God. In today's gospel, Christ is walking through Samaria, an area that was forbidden by the Jews because the people that inhabited it were betrayers of the faith, traitors to their religion and to their people. It was extremely hot. Noon in the Holy Land is not like noon here, even in the summer. I think it's hotter and even drier. And he was exhausted. He was thirsty. You know, all of us experience a certain level of thirst that Jesus is talking about. We thirst for the love maybe of a parent that we didn't get, or we thought we should have received it differently. We thirst for the love of a spouse who maybe doesn't love us the way they should or how we need. We thirst for the love of our children and their respect when we feel like they don't give it and don't recognize our sacrifices. We thirst for being loved, for being known, for being forgiven. All of us are thirsty on some very deep level, and we're constantly going to the well to satiate that thirst, only to be thirsty again. We've talked in the last few weeks, what are those wells we keep going back to, thinking somehow it'll take away our thirst, but it only does for a moment. Maybe it's different kinds of pleasures, money, power, drugs, alcohol, sex, greed, theft, arrogance, vanity. What is the well that we keep drinking from? And for a moment, we feel satisfied, only to realize that we're more thirsty than ever before. This Samaritan woman had to come to the well every day. She was probably someone that was hated by her own people because she came at noon when it was hottest. If you're going to carry a heavy plaster jar and then even heavier filled with water, you're going to do it early in the morning or late in the evening when it's coolest and you can see. But she came in the middle of the day because it was unbearably hot. And there Jesus does something that was forbidden in the Jewish law, to talk to a woman alone, and to do so as a rabbi, and to do so with the Samaritan, who, when Israel was conquered by the Babylonians, they were Jewish people who decided, we would rather worship the Babylonian gods and break the commandments than to be sent off into slavery, be killed, and lose our lands. And so they compromised their faith to save their skin, while the faithful Jews were sent off to slavery or slaughtered then and there. And after every conquering of different nations, five in total, the Samaritans did whatever they had to do to survive. And so when King Cyrus of Persia finally announced to the Jews in captivity, you may go back and rebuild your temple and worship God as you see fit, they return, poor, after generations of experiencing slavery, but committed to rebuild the Temple of Solomon. Meanwhile, their former neighbors from centuries ago are sitting fat and pretty, high on the hog, comfortably, some of them even having and taken their lands. And they come to them thinking they're being generous, the Samaritans, to the Jews, and say, we have plenty of money. We'll help you build your temple. And the Jews refused. You hypocrites. You traitors, of course you want to help. We want nothing to do with you. And from that moment on, Jews wouldn't even walk through Samaria when they had to go south. They walked around the territory. They considered it unclean to even step into Samaritan territory. They refused to forgive. They refused to forget. They would not even touch anything they touched, lest they be rendered unclean. And Jesus walks straight into the land. He is not able to be made unclean. He sanctifies the unclean. And he engages this woman because he realizes she's thirsting for something more than water. She's thirsting for love. I mean, five husbands? When Jesus told her this, he wasn't doing so in a critical way. He wasn't condemning her because of her sins. He was actually acknowledging her honesty. helping her realize that those husbands will not satisfy you. Only I can, the Messiah, the Christ. Like many people today, we marry outside the church even though we're Catholic. We refuse the sacrament of marriage, or we pursue relationships outside of the sacrament of marriage, trying to satisfy that desire for love, only to distance ourselves more and more from He who is love made flesh. Jesus invites her to drink from His love, to make Him her husband, if you will. Christ is spouse of the church. He is husband to all of us by virtue of our baptism. But He is a jealous husband who demands and requires that we choose Him above anyone else. There is no in-between. There is no half measure with Christ. It is Him first or nothing. And this third Sunday of Lent, the scriptures lead us to this fundamental decision. Whom will you love? Who do you choose? Because you cannot be married outside the church as a Catholic and faithful to Christ, engaging in the marital acts that are typical. You cannot have other gods, be it the well of arrogance, pride, greed, lust, drugs, and alcohol, and be a follower of Christ. You must decide. Christ brought this woman to that fundamental decision when He knew her life and told her everything that she had done. She knew the Messiah would be the one who could do that. And when Jesus tells her, I am, ego eimi, she runs into the town to tell everyone about Him. When we encounter Christ and accept the water of His living love, that is the Holy Spirit, who is God, we are compelled to share that with others. She was not a theologian. She had only spoken to Jesus for maybe 10 minutes. And already she was a missionary disciple. She left her water jar, meaning she's going to come back for that, and went straight into town to tell everyone, this may be the Christ, come and see. Her words led other people to Jesus. Her change of life led other people to Jesus. And the people grew in faith from believing her word to where our faith needs to be, to believing His word. So whether she ended up remaining faithful to Jesus or returning to her five different husbands, they were going to continue to follow Him. As she did, so must we do at every encounter with Christ in the Eucharist. I have seen the Messiah. We go home and invite our family, invite our friends, invite our neighbors, co-workers, invite people that we've met. Come and see Him who is living water, who might satisfy your thirst if only you accept His love above any other. Come and see. And they come, and maybe they hear my word, or they're inspired by your example, and they begin to believe. But the moment you or I scandalize them, the moment you or I disappoint them at that level, they leave, never to come back. Like many from this parish who may have been scandalized by pastors of old, the sisters at Sacred Heart, or leaders in the church, and they haven't been back since. They believed because of their word and not because of His word. Christ is inviting us to now believe in His word. Maybe you're here because a friend invited you, or your parents just raised you in the faith, or something inspired you, or you're here because of the tacos after Mass. Whatever your reason, the hope is that you would begin to believe not because of the tacos, but because of His word, so that if the tacos are bad, or you don't like them, you're still going to keep coming to Mass every Sunday because you believe His word. She was not offended when they told her the Samaritan town, we no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. They went from being led to faith by another to believing in the one who alone can save us and His word. So let things happen as they may. But if we choose to accept this life-giving, living water of Jesus that is His love, and choose it above all other loves, then we will never be thirsty again. We'll never continue to live out of our wounds of searching for the love of a father we never had, or a mother, or our children, or our spouse. Christ's love will be enough. We won't go around thirsty. We'll go around with overflowing living water to help satiate the thirst of others. This Samaritan woman did that. Christ meets us where we are at. No matter what our sin, our past, no matter how unclean we may be in the minds of others, Christ comes to make all things new and to satisfy the thirst that pushes us to the fringes of life that leave us thirstier and more miserable than ever, and says, "Come, give me a drink of water, the water of your faith, the water of your trust, and I will satisfy that thirst so that you no longer need to go back to those wells again and again." If only we would hear and recognize and accept his love. If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would ask him and he would give you life-giving, living water.